We're looking at Psalms, and we are on Psalm 116, Psalm 116, and it is a psalm of deliverance from death. And I'll read the first verse, Psalm 116, and verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Verse 2, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And our subject today is gratitude for answered prayer, or gratitude for God's goodness and mercy. And the theme of this psalm is love for the Lord. It's deliverance, it's thanksgiving, and it's praise unto God. So David is declaring, I love the Lord. And he's saying, because, the reason is, because he has heard my supplication. He has heard my voice. And he is truly thankful unto the Lord. And this is not only an Old Testament principle. We see it again in the parable of the 10 lepers that were healed in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 12 to 19. The Bible says, now it happened that as the Lord went to Jerusalem, that he passed through Samaria. And when he had entered a certain village, he was met by 10 men who were lepers. And the lepers stood afar off, and they cried out, they raised their voices, and they lifted up their voices, Master, have mercy upon us. And their cry must have been really desperate. Their situation was miserable. Their condition was terrible, because this disease caused them to be outcasts from society. They could have no friends. They couldn't associate with normal people. And there was no cure for this disease. They had no hope, and they had no future. And they, so with a loud cry, a very loud cry, they ask for mercy. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. And when they saw that they were healed, only one of them returned to Jesus to give thanks for his healing, for his cleansing, for what he had received. And with a loud voice, he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he glorified God. And Jesus answered, and he said, were there not 10? How is it that only this foreigner, this stranger, this Samaritan is the only one who comes back and gives thanks unto me? And the lesson is very clear. We are so good to take our troubles to the Lord. And we're so quick to cry unto the Lord for mercy. But we must also be quick to give thanks for what he has done. And this is what David has done. He is always ready to give thanks unto God for his gracious answers. One of the old writers says, we are far too good at lifting up our voice in troubles and hiding our praise of thanksgiving under a bushel. Don't hide your thanksgiving under a bushel. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him everywhere. This lack of praise ought not to be so. Jesus said, and he was displeased. He said, where are the 9? Where are the other 9 that were healed? And let's learn from this one Samaritan And let's learn from David. And this is what we are going to learn now from David, who provided a very, very good example. David is humble, and we see that the humble are thankful people. David was thankful, and he was one of God's choice servants. And Paul was thankful. He was one of God's choice servants. Thankfulness is a mark of God's best and brightest saints. His best and finest examples are the ones that are the most thankful. And thankfulness is the very atmosphere of heaven. It is not going to be a gloomy place, heaven. It's going to be thankfulness in heaven. Thankfulness is a mark. It's the atmosphere of heaven. Angels and men made just, men made righteous, made perfect, will always be praising God in heaven, praising Him. It's the spirit of heaven, and it's the spirit on earth, the spirit of happiness upon earth, thankfulness. And so then we must be careful not only to make our requests made known, but our requests with thanksgiving, according to Philippians 4 and verse 6. So God has done so much. There are countless things. There are many things which we can give thanks for. And sometimes at night when we are having family devotions, we say, let's just thank God for five things each. And the thing is, you wonder now, what five things can I thank God for? But when you start thanking Him, you realize how much you have to be thankful for. And you can think of even more than five things. We should give thanks to God. And the scriptures tell us this over and over again. There's no shortage of scripture which will tell us to thank God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's the will of God to give thanks in everything. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always in all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give thanks always. This is clear in Scripture. Colossians 3 and 17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then finally, it's not the final scripture. There are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, but Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And this is our lot. This is what we are called to do, to be thankful. Gratitude is what David is showing in Psalm 116. He's showing us gratitude for a specific reason. And the specific reason, we see it in verse 1, I love the Lord because, there's the reason, He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He's heard me. Because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. And here we see this loving gratitude. We see this gratitude in His yesterdays, in His todays, and in His tomorrows. We see this gratitude past, present, and future. So let's look briefly at these. The present, David's present proclamation. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Do you know that the law required that we love the Lord, but the law couldn't produce it? love is produced by grace. And David said, there are so many reasons that David gives for his love for the Lord. We couldn't go through them all now. There are just too many. But I've already mentioned one in Psalm 119 and verse 140. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. David knows the reason that he loves the Lord. And it's not just blind love. He has a solid reason why he loves the Lord. And in verse 2 specifically, we see the specific reason given in this psalm, because he has inclined his ear to me. So David has this strong reason. His love is not just an emotion. There is reason and emotion together. And that makes this love unshakable. That makes this gives this love abundant reason. And David's reason is, he has heard my prayers. He has heard my voice. And when we are able to pray lifting up our voice, it's very good. Sometimes we are in a public place. We can't lift up our voice. But there is a time when every believer should lift up their voice in prayer. And it's good and it's helpful to us. And it moves our affections. It moves our understanding. And when we are in public prayer together, it's very good to pray with the voice. Imagine we all came to the public prayer and we all prayed silently in our minds. No, we lift up our voice and we edify one another. And people can say amen to our prayer with our voice and with our mind. But we shouldn't forget that whether we are praying, whether we are singing songs unto the Lord, that they must spring from the heart. Prayer must come from the heart. David's voice came from his heart, from a heart of gratitude. And if they don't come from the heart, they're not valuable to God. They're not precious to God. Well, in the past, we've seen the present. He's praising the Lord now for what the Lord is doing in his life. And he's praising him because he has heard. He has heard in the past. He's heard the voice of my supplications. And there was a thankfulness in his heart. Thankfulness for answered prayer. It was so memorable. Oh, the Lord answered in times of great danger. I thought it was so hard, greatest hardship. Answered prayer like this has tender cords of love and grace that draw our hearts nearer and nearer to God. Oh, we love him. He has answered our cry. He has heard our cry. Oh, and it's this love. Answered prayer brings a real joy and causes us to love the Lord more and more. Causes our love for the Lord to grow more and more. The King James renders this verse, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Inclined his ear unto me. And this has the meaning, my voice was so weak. My situation was so bad. I was so down. I was so weak. I was hardly able to talk. And I was so faint. And it's a picture of the Lord inclining, bending down and placing his ear close to your lips so he can hear your feeble cry. That's what it's a picture of. What mercy that the Lord inclines his ear to our feeble cries. He stoops down to hear and he regards our supplications. He listens to our cries. I love him, says David, because of this mercy, because of this great tenderness Therefore, I will call upon his name as long as I live. I will never stop praising him. And this leads on to the future. And we see that this love that David has is for the future. He says, I'll praise you all the days of my life. I will call upon him. And this crying to the Lord, this praising the Lord, it also speaks of praise, prayer, adoration of every kind. He lavishes upon us goodness. His mercies are new every morning. So let our praise be new every morning. He gives us daily benefits. Let us daily give him praise and thanks, and let us give him the praise in great abundance, for he gives us in great abundance. Let us return. He answered my cry. Therefore, I will praise him forever. Forever. Grace moves David to action. But what was the condition that he was facing? What was the reason he had to pray so urgently? What was his need? What was the problem he was facing? Well, in verse 3, we read it like this: the pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. He is surrounded with troubles, completely surrounded, encircled with troubles. And it's a picture of hunters with dogs surrounding an antelope that is now exhausted and has collapsed and has fallen down. And maybe one of the dogs has fastened its teeth to that antelope and is holding it and snarling. Well, that's how David feels. I'm exhausted, and the enemy has got his teeth into me, and there's no way of escape. Biting, the enemy's biting him and holding fast to him. And David said, the pains of hell got a hold of me. The pains of hell got a hold of me. I found trouble and I found sorrow. Horror and torment seized me. Terror from the grave seized me. Like these dogs, got their teeth into him. He feels completely overtaken. Could his situation be any worse? No, I don't think so. He knows of no man that can help him. The situation is too bad. And the only hope he has is so he calls upon the name of the Lord. In verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. And again, we mentioned it in a previous meeting. You'll notice that Lord is written with all capitals, and that is the most holy name for God, Jehovah. And David invokes the most holy name he knows. He says, Jehovah, Jehovah, and his petition is short, and his petition is to the point, humble and very sincere. It's a cry. It's a cry from the heart. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And we learn something here, that real prayer is not flowery. It's not eloquent. Real prayer is from the heart. Real prayer is because it has been birthed by real problems. Real problems, desperate trouble. Real trouble produces real prayer, genuine prayer. And David reminds us in the next verse, he reminds us of grace and righteousness of our God. And in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, Our God is merciful. And this combination of grace and righteousness, it can only be explained by what Jesus Christ did on Calvary for us. And it's explained by this sentence, yes, you are merciful. Yes, our God is merciful. And the mercy is this, is that we have been given a new heart. We are born again and we have accepted him as Savior. And we now have no doubt of his mercy. No doubt. We know that we know who were so unfaithful, he would have never saved us if it wasn't for his mercy. So we know his mercy. We know it was mercy that saved us. And in verse 6, David says, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. And this meaning for simple, it has a bigger meaning than just a simple person. The meaning includes innocent, an innocent person, a helpless, sincere, and upright without guile. That's the meaning. He preserves the helpless, sincere, upright, without guile. He preserves the simple. Although the simple are very weak and unable to care for themselves, he cares for them and he preserves them. And this was David's testimony. And this is what David is saying. I was brought very low. I was brought to great depths of misery. And the Lord heard my prayer. He helped me to pray. If he didn't help me, says David, I wouldn't have even been able to pray. I would have surely been destroyed. I lay humbled, and the Lord delivered me. He delivered my soul from death. Oh, what a joy to know that he has died on the cross for us, so that we don't have to die. He delivered my soul from death. And then it goes on to say, my eyes from tears. My eyes from tears. He gives the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But the truth is that we are not completely delivered from tears on this earth, but the fullness and the perfection of this comes when we shall see him face to face, and he shall wipe away every tear forever. Forever. He'll keep my feet from falling into sin and misery, says David. He keeps me. I love him. He keeps me. My soul can return to rest. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will love you. And we see this next one. I will walk before you. I will walk before you, realizing that I live in this world. I live among men. But Lord, you see my every step. I live to please you, Lord, not men. So David is understanding that he walks before the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, your teaching, your ways influence my life, not men's ways. I want your ways, O Lord, not what men say and do. And I want to live this life of faith and hope and truth. And I want, and you are the one who gives me this true desire to walk in holiness. It's produced by an understanding that I'm living and walking in your sight, O Lord. You see my every step. You know what I do. You see when I rise up. You see when I sit down. You know my going out. You know my coming in, O Lord. And this produces in me a desire to walk in a manner which is pleasing unto you, Lord. When I'm living and walking like this, when I've been helped by God's gracious care, when I've been helped by answers to prayer, we find a strong motive, a strong reason. Therefore, I will walk before you, Lord. Therefore, I will walk in holiness, because you've done so much for me, O Lord. You've given me so much. And David is also saying that I will rest in you. I will rest in him. David had faith in the Lord. He had faith like Father Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And in the same way, we walk before the Lord. Because we live before the Lord, we walk before the Lord. We could spend much time on that, but let's move on to verse 10. I believed, therefore I spoke. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. It was faith in God that made David speak, or made the psalmist speak, and enabled him to speak. Faith in God enables us to speak and enables us to cry for mercy. And his lips spoke praise, and his tongue was not silent. Without faith, he wouldn't have even lifted up his voice to God. Faith carried him through. Faith helped him and was very present in the danger. And it was danger, because David is saying here, I am greatly afflicted. So this wasn't just an imagination. This, his affliction was very bad. His affliction was, his hardships were very real, and he felt them. But listen to this. His deliverance was also very real. He felt it and he knew it. It was a fact and not an imagination of an overzealous mind hoping for deliverance. He knew it. He felt it. It was real. And he says, therefore, I'm more resolved to speak of your goodness all the time. You see, when God answers, we won't be able to be quiet. We must testify of his mercies and his goodness. So this problem and affliction that David had, it was beyond the help of mere man, beyond the help of even those that were closest to David. He had his mighty men that were around him, but they couldn't help him. And David, I want to say this, sometimes you and I and every person, we face problems that even our closest people around us cannot help. Even our husband, even our wife cannot help. And the way that we could say it is that the rivers of this earth often run dry, and our only hope is in the Lord. To look to him and to pray to him. Happy is the man who comes to this point and trusts not in earthly hope and ends up trusting in a hope that's false and empty and shallow. Happy is the man who believes in God, because God is the God of true hope. And now with confidence and trust in God, he prays. David has so many reasons to say, I love you, Lord, because. I love you, Lord, because. His heart is melted at God's goodness. And he says, I'll speak of your goodness. I will testify what you have done for my soul. And verse 12 says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What can I offer the Lord for all of his kindness? And what are these kindnesses? And we've already seen some of them, but there's so many. He has inclined his fatherly ear to me, listening. God, full of compassion, is listening to my desperate whisper and cry, so feeble and so faint, yet he hears. He has given me bountiful treatment, bountiful treatment. Us who were prodigal sons, who had strayed far away from our father's house, wasted our father's substance, we didn't deserve any compassion, but we find such kindness with our father when he says, bring out the best robe, put it on him. Did he not clothe us with righteousness? Oh, he imputed righteousness to us. He put a ring on our hand and sandals on our feet. And he said, bring out the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Well, what kindness he has shown to us. What grace he has shown to us. Bountiful treatment. Therefore, I will love him, past, present, and future. I will love him forever and forever. I think even in heaven, we will still continue thanking God that we are there. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you washed me, qualified me to come to this place of glory and light. Oh, I didn't deserve it, Lord, but you were merciful. How I love you, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. Verse 13, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Take up the cup of salvation. That's an act of worship in itself. This is the answer to what I shall give the Lord for all his mercies. You say, how is this the answer? Well, it is the wisest answer. David knows, and we know, that we cannot possibly repay the Lord for all his mercies. And the wisest answer is, and the best answer, the most honoring action is, Lord, I receive the cup of salvation more and more. The more I drink of the cup of salvation, the more praise and honor I will give to you. I want to receive still more from his hand with thankful praise. You see, when we partake of the cup of salvation, we show our total dependence upon the Lord. We show our total confidence and faith in the Lord. And that is an act of worship. That is, the psalmist says, I will take the cup and call upon the name of the Lord. I will worship and bless the Lord and thank him and pray to him and drink from that cup which is filled with grace. The cup of blessing we take by faith, and we receive and we drink with glad hearts. And this magnifies the Lord. This lifts the Lord up. Oh, Lord, I love the cup of salvation. I love to praise you. I love to spend time with you. I love to honor you. Let us who are born again, let us call upon the name of the Lord like David did. And that means more than just praying all the time. It means I will trust my Savior. To call upon the name of the Lord means I will trust him. I will believe him. I will have confidence in him. I will rely upon him. I will look to Jehovah alone, for he is the true and the living God. This is what partaking of the cup of salvation. I have confidence in you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I depend upon you. I belong to you, O Lord. Therefore, David is saying, I love him. I love him. I'm loyal to him. I'm loyal. I love him because of this. I will have no other God before me. I will not even trust other people. I put my full confidence in God, and I will bow to God all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Well, as we begin coming to a close, maybe you've never drunk from the cup of salvation, and you don't know what it is to have your sin washed away, and you don't know what it is to have fellowship with the Lord, and to have fellowship with the King of Kings, to be able to say, I love you, Lord, because you have done so much for me. If you have never partaken of the cup of salvation, what must you do? Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Call upon his name in prayer, and he shall redeem you and save you, and you will be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, believe the gospel today. Partake of that cup, and you will say, I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. Amen and amen.